We start today with a well-kept secret, a scheme where you can get hundreds, even thousands of dollars worth of dental treatment on Medicare. For now. The government wants to scrap the scheme to make way for expansion of the Commonwealth Dental Health Program aimed at reducing waiting lists for public dental services. Dental Medicare was brought in by the previous federal government for people with chronic health problems, but the take-up rate has been very low in most states. Professor Hans Zollner, who chairs the Association for the Promotion of Oral Health, is with me now. He thinks dental Medicare should stay. Welcome, Hans.
Good morning.
Dental Medicare has had a low take-up rate, especially outside of New South Wales. Why should it survive?
Well, I mean, first of all, there's no sensible reason why dentistry should be excluded from the Medicare system. We know that very, very large numbers of people are walking around with untreated disease, and so the only real mechanism for funding their treatment is through Medicare. Most people have to simply do without treatment. But the reason why the scheme has had poor uptake is because the government has undermined the scheme ever since the Rudd government took office. Everything humanly possible has been done by the Minister for Health to undermine the scheme, to confuse people who are using it, and also obviously fail to promote it so people don't know that it exists.
So they're not advertising it?
They're not advertising. Not 1 cent has been spent on government advertising for dental Medicare. And that 2 million Australians are eligible. 1 in 10 Australians has a chronic disease.
But the figures are stark. I mean, I think the 91,000 people have used the scheme, of which almost 67,000 in New South Wales, and you get down to sort of 253 people in Tasmania.
Yes, no, that's right, and that's quite simply because throughout the whole of Australia there's been no advertising. The only group that's actually been advertising the scheme is our own little advocacy group. So it just so happens to be that we are based, our association is based in New South Wales.
Right.
It's in New South Wales that we have our best contacts with the health groups and with the media, and so we've been able to achieve a level of advertising here. We know that 10% of the people in New South Wales who are eligible have used the scheme, so that's not bad going for really all that we've got in the way of resources is a mobile phone and email. So we imagine that if there was proper government advertising, if we had the usual flurry of fridge magnets that we get from government whenever there's an initiative, then there would have been better uptake.
Okay, but if the Health Minister says at the moment, quote, that it's a failed scheme of the Liberals and the Labor government's had several goes at killing it off, why do you think it's not a failure?
Well, it's not a failure because, in fact, those people who have received treatment have received, obviously, comprehensive dental care. I mean, the average person who is accessing this scheme, now, we've done a really detailed analysis of the available Medicare statistics. You can get them off the Medicare website. And you can look at each individual treatment done for each patient. We can work out that the average patient is getting, you know, a treatment for a big backlog of unmet dental services.
So what sort of things are they having done?
Well, I mean, the average patient is getting around about 3 to 4 extractions or treatment for pain. So these people are walking around in pain and with teeth so badly broken down, the only technical solution is to extract the teeth. So, well, that's about 3 or 4 of those treatments. They're also getting preventive treatments. They're getting a few fillings. Most of them are getting a denture. Most of them are getting a bit under one crown on average each. So there's a big backlog of untreated dental disease. These people are finally accessing the service. How could that be a failure?
There's been some controversy about it, that when you said crown, it made me think of the accusation as being that it's been used for cosmetic dentistry.
Yes. Well, that's right. I mean, this is where there's actually been some very bad misrepresentation of the facts, that some lobby groups have incorrectly stated that 40% of the funding on dental Medicare is for cosmetics, is for crowns, unnecessary dental treatment. That's just nonsense. Crowning is in fact, I mean, there are occasions when you technically have no choice but to crown the tooth. I've got 4 crowns in my mouth, for example.
Yep.
I don't have them for cosmetic reasons. I've got them there because those particular teeth were so badly broken down, the only way to physically save them was to put a crown on the tooth. Now, these patients are lining up. They've gone for years, perhaps decades, without any decent dental treatment. They've got a backlog of unmet disease. And so, of course, it's not too surprising that they probably need more crowns. Now, it could be that there are more crowns being placed than required, and the only way to really know if that's the case, the only way to really control it, is to have some sort of pre-approval process, like already established for the Department of Veteran Affairs.
Yeah. Who's eligible, Hans?
Well, anybody with a chronic disease where the disease may be impacted by dental disease. People with, the biggest group would be people with diabetes, for example. People with diabetes are more prone to infections generally, but there's a nasty feedback loop between dental infection and diabetes. If you've got dental infection, you're much more likely to get worse control of your diabetes, and not only that, but the diabetes makes your dental infections worse. Solution? Interrupt the dental infection, stop the dental infection, you get better diabetic control, better diabetic outcomes. People with valvular heart disease, like if you've had a heart valve replacement, or if you've had rheumatic fever, or you've had previous bouts of heart valve defects, those people are prone to this pretty deadly infectious disease of the heart, where bacteria can easily gain access to the bloodstream from the mouth, from dental infections, find their way onto the heart valves and cause infective endocarditis. Again, this group of people needs good dental health. People with immune compromise, people who are aged and debilitated. If you're aged, debilitated and demented, that you're going to be one of the common causes for serious death, serious infection and death in these patients is aspiration pneumonia. They suck the bacteria from their mouth. Good dental treatment for these patients saves their lives.
But if I just pretend to be an accountant for a moment, if I was the government... Because this isn't means-tested, this, is it?
No.
When you look at the rate at which the number of people with type 2 diabetes is growing in this country, this could become a very, very expensive scheme. I mean, I think it entitles you to about $2,000 a year's worth of treatment.
That's right. Well, it would be expensive, certainly, for people who have had no treatment. They will have a backlog of treatment, and it will be expensive for the first set of appointments. And after that, these patients should be on maintenance dental therapy so that the costs, in fact, for an individual patient will be initially high and then they will drop as their backlog of unmet treatment is delivered. And then after that, the costs upon the system are low. And in fact, that was exactly the experience that the Department of Veterans Affairs had when it started delivering dental treatment back soon after the Second World War. They found that soldiers had, returned soldiers, had a lot of untreated disease. The initial costs for individual patients was high and then they dropped. So yeah, look, it's going to cost money. But this area of health has been so neglected for so long, and why not spend federal money on this? Why not, in fact, support people's dental health? We've spent $10 billion saving the banks, $6 billion saving the auto industry. I mean, $10 billion just recently on a $1,000 Christmas voucher for everyone. Well, that's great, but what's wrong with spending some money actually improving people's health through dental services?
On Life Matters today, my guest in the studio is Hans Zollner, who's chair of the Association for the Promotion of Oral Health. He's also at the University of Sydney. Why shouldn't it be, though, for people who can't afford dental treatment? Because the people on the very, very long waiting lists for public dentistry.
Yes, well, for one thing, the truth is that the public system is currently being asked to do the impossible. Depending upon the state that you live in, up to 50% of the population has an income sufficiently low to qualify them for access to the public dental service. Well, that's fine. So that's half of the population is eligible. Mm. But the truth is, less than 10% of the nation's dental workforce, less than 10% of the dentists and therapists and prosthetists and hygienists actually work in the public sector. So 40% of the population, at a rough estimate, simply cannot afford basic dental services and simply can't get into the public sector for help. So for that reason, you have to in fact find a mechanism for funding dental services where the actual services are, and that's in the private sector. That's what Medicare has always done.
But isn't that what the government's trying to do with the Commonwealth Dental Health Program? I mean, this provides funding to the states and territories to help clear the backlog of people waiting for public health, dental treatment. As we've just talked about, it's desperately needed. Are you against that plan?
Well, no. I mean, I think it's nice for the government to give the states some money, but you've got to see it in context. What the federal or the Commonwealth Dental Health Program is a single allocation of $14.63 per public patients to the states. You just got to see the numbers. The numbers are such that they're talking about this Commonwealth Dental Health Program as if it were a replacement for Medicare. It's nothing like it. Dental Medicare currently will entitle eligible people for over $2,000 of private dental service in any private dental surgery, no waiting lists, and comprehensive dental care available. And they want to take that away and replace it with the Commonwealth Dental Health Program, which which is just $14.63 to the public sector per public patient to try and boost public spending. And it just doesn't compare. And it can't possibly...
It's because we're talking about different size of eligible sets. If I'm going to say that again. Basically, if half the population's eligible for one of these, but only 10% of the population has the chronic health conditions, you can see that we're talking about different numbers of people. And I would imagine... there's only so much money.
It's true that we are talking about different populations of people, and this is where the government's being quite disingenuous by saying that the Commonwealth Dental Health Program is a replacement for Medicare. As you say, precisely right, the current Medicare program is targeted to people with chronic health diseases, in fact, people whose general health depends critically upon dental services, whereas the Commonwealth Dental Health Program is intended to be spent diffusely across the public dental services, and so they are in fact two different populations. Clearly, one cannot be a replacement for the other.
There'll be some overlap, of course.
There's going to be some overlap.
If you need to be on the public list because you can't afford private dentistry, you're probably going to have not as good oral. You're not going to have good oral health in all likelihood, and you may well have a chronic disease.
That's right. And what we would like to see happen is actually the current Medicare entitlement expanded to include the entire population, because it doesn't particularly make sense to freeze out anybody from Medicare services. At the moment, it's a new scheme, and I can understand why the previous government, when they introduced dental Medicare, if you will, probably focused initially on a target population that has medical need of dental services, because it takes time to establish the mechanism, it takes time to work out how it should best run, it takes time to work out what the costs are really going to be, to establish regulation of those services to make sure that the money's well spent. So, okay, they focused upon people with chronic disease, but we saw, and in fact they told us that last year, the previous government, Mr. Abbott's office, advised us, well, in fact, understand this is really the start. This is where we begin dental Medicare, and as we establish the mechanism, we will expand it. And that actually made some sort of sense. When the government actually takes dentistry out of Medicare, it's just going to say that most people simply will not have access to dental services at all, and there will be no future for dentistry in this nation.
But it looks like that is what you are looking at. I mean, this is being fought pretty fiercely. The axing of dental Medicare has been blocked in the Senate twice now by the Liberals and Nationals. But the Australian Health and Hospitals Association, the lobby group for the public health sector, wants the scheme gone too, as do a number of other groups. And the health minister is a very determined person, and she's clearly not going to give up on this.
Well, that may be the case, but the Minister for Health is still nonetheless bound by the laws of the land. The government is bound by the law of the land. At this point in time, because the Senate has in fact protected dental Medicare is on the books and available to everybody who's eligible for it, irrespective of the fact that the minister might not like it, irrespective of the fact that the government wants to axe it, regardless of that, at this point in time, it is the law of the land. And any government that undermines the law of the land is an outlaw. The minister is acting as an outlaw when she undermines the scheme. She sent out letters to people who are using the scheme earlier this year. In fact, two letters went out to people who are using the scheme who were enrolled in dental Medicare saying, oh, look, the scheme's been axed. Nonsense. It wasn't axed. She didn't have approval of the Senate to do so at that time. She was acting illegally, and no letter has been sent to those patients since advising them that this was a mistake. So I find that outrageous.
So you would say, look, if you've got a chronic illness, there's this scheme. Get out there and use it.
Absolutely, there is a scheme. Get out there and use it, because, frankly, there is good evidence that it will protect your general health, and there is no reason why dentistry should not be part of Medicare.
Hans, thank you very much for joining us today. That's Professor Hans Zollner, who's chair of the Association for the Promotion of Oral Health, and he's based in the Faculty of Dentistry at Sydney University.
You've been listening to another ABC Radio National podcast. ABC Radio National, on air and online, with many of our programs available as podcasts or MP3 downloads. All the details at abc.net.au/rn/podcast.